third on that. So welcome, class of Living by the Book, John chapter 1. And, you know, I hate to seem redundant, but there's simplicity in learning how to live by the book. But there's no way to live by the book until you make the book your life. And I know that may seem kind of generic or simple, but it's actually, it has become to be very complicated with our religion because we tend to have principles and lessons and all these different things when the actuality is all it is telling us how to live life. A principle cannot teach you how to live life. It may give you some steps and different things of that nature, but only life can bear life. A tree will bear fruit after its kind. So a principle cannot make a successful life. Only life can make life. Only life can bear life. And so this is how we have to see the word. This is what living by the book, and I've said it before, but living as the book is, John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. So now the word has a personality. It is alive and has a personality. It is not just ink on the paper. It is not just principles in a manual. This is more than just, and I may have said this before, and I correct myself, this is more than just a manual. It is alive with the character and personality. The same was in the beginning with God, verse 2. Then I want to jump down to verse 14. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So now the word, I'm going to say it again, and I've said it over and over again, but the word was made flesh. I like the way that John wrote this, and I'm glad he wrote this way, because it otherwise we would have an excuse and not even understand what Jesus was saying to us most of the time or what his sayings really meant. But it was the word was made flesh. Now, one of the things overlooked, and I want to get this and talk to this, and we'll get to another point. One of the things that's mostly overlooked about Jesus is his master storytelling. Today, we've just, the knowledge of good and evil, man, that tree, man, and that tree represents the concept of the track of life or the track of mentality that you can live from. It's really gotten us to these, you know, scientific explanations that we can expound and explain, and we can, you know, divulge, and we can have theories and all these different things and never really get to what life really is. Science kind of angers me sometimes with this, and I appreciate science, but science thinks that they've made some progress by being able to explain something that already is. You're just finding words and explaining something that already is, but you still can't tell me the power or the source of the power or the origin. You can't tell me the life or where the life comes from. And so in our society, we through school, through grade school, through college, everything, we're getting so much information. Even in church, we have so many lessons and so much information, so many steps and principles and ones and twos and threes and different things of that nature. And we have so much of that that we've lost the essence of life in the word. The essence that it is telling you verbatim and literally exactly who you are and how you are. But if we never look at the scripture this way, and we're looking for a word to stand on, right? Give me a word to stand on. That's what you're saying, word of faith. Like, what word are you standing on? You know, I give you a word to wrap your prayer around and to confess with. And so now we're using the word as these inanimate faith objects. When actually the word is who you are, and the word is how you are. So it can't. It's not a word that you're standing on. It's a word you're standing as. Put that down. It's not a word that you're standing on. What word are you standing as? All right. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, if we don't understand, you think this is just talking about Jesus, but it's also telling you who you are. The word was made flesh and dwells among us. Right now, me dwelling among you, you dwelling among me, dwelling among us. The word is in the flesh. So now Jesus's master storytelling was that there were things that you can find, principles and different things you can find, and laws and different things of that nature. But he was using real live people are real live living examples of living things to show how God works or how God functions or what God's plan is for us as mankind. He would say there was a certain man, right? Or they would tell a story about the woman at the well. Or they'd tell a story about such and such. These stories, his parables were always about there was a man that gave money to the Lord gave money to his servants, right? He's giving a live, right in front of your face, lifestyle example of God's operations in us as people. This is why he doesn't just sit there and teach and give steps and principles and different things of that nature, but the commandments that he wanted us to keep were always live. They were always alive. So now, John 5:39, and we go there pretty much every week, but John 5:39, he says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, right? Life. And they are they which testify of me, but you will not come to me that you might receive eternal life. In other words, you won't come all the way to Jesus so that you realize how live this word really is. I know we always talking about a rhema word, or we always talking about the written word and the rhema word. Well, the rhema word is only alive when you decide to take it, realize that it is you, and begin to live it. Not live by the principles, but live as the principles. There's a difference, and I want to specify the difference. Many times we are trying to live Romans 8, and it talks about what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh. In other words, it was weak through our flesh because we were trying to live some rules on a paper instead of being the law. So here's Jesus. I don't have time to go to the scripture, but you've heard this before. He said, I did not come to do away with the law, but I came to fulfill the law. In other words, to show you what the law in the flesh looks like, right? This is who we are. But if I don't realize it in my mentality and I don't realize it in my soul, then I would be interpreting what Jesus is saying the wrong way. And now I'm trying to follow steps and rules when actually I am the ruler. That's exactly what it is. You're the ruler. You are the rule in the flesh. But if we don't know that, then we see, it's almost like a different language, like we see the word differently. So search the scriptures, all right? So search them, right? Search what's written down. For in them you think you have eternal life. And he didn't say eternal life wasn't in them. He said, and they are they which testify of me. But the thing is, you will not come all the way to me that you receive eternal life. In other words, you won't come all the way to Christ. You won't come all the way to really being the essence and the virtue of who Christ is enough to realize that the word is the flesh in you. There's I want to get in myself. John 6:63, he says, it is the spirit that maketh alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. You know, we just talked about Romans 8, talking about the law of the spirit of life. It was weak through the flesh. The law was weak through the flesh. Weak through the flesh. Weak through just trying to do it through yourself. Weak just trying to do it with your flesh separated from who you really are, right? It's weak through the flesh. He says, it is the spirit, verse 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. So in other words, your actions out here, you're stepping in your principles. Well, by show of hands, you can raise your hands right there where you're watching online. We know there's a lot of principles we've been standing on and quoting and confessing on that hadn't come to life. It's the truth. If you're really honest with yourself, you're honest with everybody else, you know it's the truth. Why? Because you are the life that's supposed to come. It is not something coming to you, it's something coming from you. So the flesh profited nothing. And he says the words, here we go. Now the words are transformed right here. The words that I speak unto you, listen, they are spirit and are life, and they are life. Listen, so what he's saying? Now the word spirit, if you look up the word spirit in the Greek and Hebrew and everything, it means breath. That means it has a breath in it. Your spirit, the Bible talks about he breathed into man in Genesis. It's literally talking about a wind, a breath, a breathing into. When you're inspired, that's in spirit. That's a breathing into. So it's really talking about a wind or a breath. Well, none of you can survive without breath. You can't survive without. So now he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are alive breath. They're not a stale quotation or a stale echo or a stale repetition that somebody told me, but they are alive right here as I speak them. You remember when Jesus, they said, they're looking for Jesus, and he said, I am he, and all them people fell back? Yeah, there was a live breath. The reason that Jesus spoke things and things happened and spoke to wind and wind stopped and spoke to different things and things happened and other people couldn't is because it was a live breath not a stale or repeated echo. Jesus, I know Paul, I know, but who are you? Seven sons of Sceva. They go in trying to cast out demons, but they try to cast them out in the name of Jesus, in the name of Paul. No, what's your name? I wrote this down today, and I heard preachers preaching, and I even myself, and I'm gonna make a statement. I don't want to say it because somebody gonna take it and soundbite it and make it sound bad. So I won't even say it. I'll just say this. I get tired of hearing about Jesus and not seeing him. I said, make the quote. I said, I already know what Jesus did. What are we doing? You right now. What are we doing? The scripture says in John, he says the works that I do, so you do also, and greater works than these. If you believe on me, he that believeth on me, he said, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. Okay, I understand. Whoo! Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He's risen. He's alive. He's our champion and all these different things. Okay, cool. Now, what are you doing? And I believe he's on the throne asking the same thing. I don't want you to keep clapping for me down here. Get something done. The same works that I do, you do. But we can't get those works done if we're trying to follow the principles and not being the principle. We have to be the principle. We have to be willing to go through whatever it takes to be the live word of God in the flesh walking amongst people. This is when we'll see the miracles, signs, and wonders. This is when we'll see the change. This is when we'll speak and people say, did not our hearts burn? This is when we'll speak and people say, he speaks like one with authority, not like the rest of the scribes. The rest of the scribes is reading what was scripted already. There's a difference. The words that I speak, they are spirit. They are literally breath. They are literally alive breath. And they are, so he can describe it, they are life. These words are not just on the paper, though we appreciate that somebody recorded them. Thank God that somebody recorded them so we can read them back. But they are not limited to the recording. They're not limited to the ink and the pages that they're on. They're not limited to the chapter and the number. They are spirit breathed upon. And they are life. Now, the only difference between a breathed upon word and a word that hadn't been breathed upon is your understanding of where this word comes from. Listen to what I'm saying. Your understanding of that word. So now, if you're repeating what I say, or repeating what apostles say, or Dr. Leroy Jr., or Dr. Ron, or Dr. Cowan, or Brother Ron, or Reverend Calhoun, or Reverend Joanne, all our teachers, if we're repeating what they're saying and just repeating it and going to principles and regurgitating what they're saying, and this thing is not set down into us to show us it is who we are, then our words are void. Our words are dead. Our words will not bring life up on anybody. Because the words, Jesus says, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. In the next scripture, he says, but there are some of you who believe not. What does he mean by that? That some of y'all don't realize that it's, now a lot of the things that happen in our lives are happening because we said them, because we believed them, because we'd agreed with them. And it may not have happened instantly when you said them right then, but you're speaking things into existence. So what I need to understand is, who am I? How am I? Right? And then begin to speak from that place. Many times we've thought that a rhema word was a word that you go over so much till you know it without a shadow of a doubt. No, I don't need you to know it without a shadow of a doubt. I need you to be it. I need to be the point to where there's no difference between you and that word. Well, I can do it. I'll show you an example of how you do it right now. I'm looking at your names, LaFonia and Timothy and Priscilla and Catherine and Trina and Johnny and Cynthia, Brad and Laura, Shamika, Ayana, Simone, Valencia, Barbara, Salome, I'm seeing y'all. Demi, I'm seeing Emmanuel, Kanisha, Kimberly, Arion. I'm looking at your names. Let me see this name over here. Chevelle, Viviana, I'm looking at you. Eric, I'm looking at your names. And you have never separated yourself from that name. Y'all better catch what I'm saying real quick. You have Avery. You've never separated yourself from that name. You've never thought differently that you were somebody else. That's your name. Say your name real quick. That's your name. You've never separated. You've written your name down before. You've seen it written down on paper before. You've written your name several different times, right? But you've never separated who you are from that name. You write your name when you're trying to get a loan, or write your name when you're trying to sign some paper. Write your name when you're signing a check. You write your name on your bank statement. You write your name. You never separated from that name. You've never so just because it's written doesn't mean it ain't who you are. But you never separated from that name. But for some reason, with the word of God, it is somewhere else but where we are. Give us a presence. Send the Spirit. Fill the room. Where's the glory? And we're searching for another revelation when you are the revelation that needs to unfold. They say, oh, where's the kingdom of God? He said, low here, low there. He said, no, the kingdom of God is within you. It is within you. You are the revelation that needs to be unfolded. But unless you know that, you're going to be running around chasing principles, running around chasing steps, running around. And there's a level of profitability and success that comes from that. But for the most part, you'll never live up to being what God intended you to be. What did you come here for? I ask that statement. What did you come here for? Jesus says, I didn't come here to do my will. I came here to do the will of the Father. What did you come here for? I'm talking about on earth. So now living by the book, but not just living by the book, but I graduated from living by it to living as the book. To when somebody sees me, they can read God. Jesus would say it all the time. He said, well, you see me, you see the Father. He's making it a point to understand that there is no separation. There is not me working to try to do something to please God. There's not me working, trying to do something to show that I really know the will of God and the works of God. No. Oh, no, no. I'm living to show what God looks like in the flesh. You too. Come on, say it. Say me too. But there's some prerequisites that I consistently go back to. And they're not the prerequisites that I set. They're the prerequisites that God set. There's the prerequisites that Jesus set because he lived through it. There are the things that we have to do in order to function as the word in the flesh. So there's a lot of ripping away that we have to do, a lot of unlearning that we have to do, a lot of breaking down. And the quickest way, he says in Matthew, over there in Matthew, and I'll flip over there because I'm thinking I should be quoting stuff. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, and he said, then Jesus said to the disciples, any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Verse 25, for whosoever will save his life will lose it. Whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. He's trying to tell us that everything that we think we know or that we learn, that we're trying to walk by in these principles and these books and all this stuff that we got to lose it. You got to lose your mind. You got to lose the current mind you got for the mind of Christ. Let this mind, Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So I've got to lose this idea of what life is. You lose your idea. You're trying to save your life. Try to lose that idea of what you think life is so that you can gain life. Deny that version of yourself so you can realize the true version of yourself. Now, denial only seems hard because the only time denying yourself seems hard is when you're trying to preserve yourself. When you're trying to preserve yourself, you feel like somebody is denying and depriving something from it, and it's difficult. But when you realize that God is really trying to get you to deny that self so he can crack you open and show you your true self, show you the true life that you are, show you how to walk in that true living word, I am the bread of life. We're not putting it somewhere else. Oh, the bread that's multiplied comes from the bread that's alive. You're trying to work miracles so much, but you can't work something that you ain't. The tree bears fruit at this kind. That means if you're trying to bear miracles, you got to realize that you are a miracle. If you're trying to bear a sign, you got to realize that you are a sign. Say it. Say, I am a sign. Come on, say it right there with you. I am a miracle. Come on, say it. I am the word in the flesh. And see, when you realize that you are, listen, you'll feel the difference right now while I'm saying it right now. When you realize that you are the word in the flesh, then when you say it, there's a power that punches somebody when they hear it. And it is no longer a lecture. It is no longer a simple teaching. It is no longer a message that's just a good message. Now it becomes life imparting life. And it begins to press the buttons of life on the inside of you and activate you to a way that you've never been activated before. This is what happens. If you really dig into Jesus, this is what happens. If you really dig into these red words where Jesus is talking, this is what happens to you. And everything becomes alive. It is no longer a ritual or a religion or a duty that you have to do to study the word, but you realize I am the word, so I'm only reading me. to come alive. But if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. It's very simple, seems to be redundant, but it's a very simple conversation. There's some unlearning. You don't need a new word. You don't need a, revelation knowledge is just that. It's got to be revealed to you. You can't go search for it. You're going to put yourself in a position and let the Lord uncover it for you. And he's really uncovering you. The revelation knowledge is really trying to show you that you are the mystery. This is living by the book. And so there's some unlearning. There's some unthinking. There's some surrender and some yielding. Jesus said, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, I give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I am. He didn't say holy and righteous. He didn't say all wise and all knowing. He didn't say he was anointed and powerful. He didn't say he was glorious and mighty. He said, I'm meek and lowly. In other words, I've surrendered myself enough to where I can realize that God can show me who I really am. I am the Word in the flesh. Everything that's been written about in this Bible is pointing to Jesus, and then Jesus comes here and starts pointing at you. He's pointing at you. He says, you're going to do the works. There's power in you. Kingdom of God is in you. And so there's some unlearning and some breaking down. We got to, this is living by the book. Amen.